What's up, guys? Welcome back to another THB Strength Podcast. On today's episode, we are going to be talking about how important is deadlift for improving your vertical leap. But before we get into that, we want to give a huge shout out to our sponsors over at THB Strength. Yes, we know that we are our own sponsors. That is the joke. Every time someone's like, you can't sponsor yourself, like, we absolutely can. And we just did. So if you guys are looking for the best jump training in the entire world, go to THBstrength.com and sign up today. Right now, we are running a sale that is currently what percent cheaper than what it used to be?
I think it's like 80-something, yeah.
80-something percent cheaper. And prices are definitely going to go back up. So if you want to get in on this, a big motivation and inspiration for me was trying to help kids like me whenever I was in high school or even in college and didn't have the funds to get high-level coaching. Still made it work at the time, but I wanted to help kids like us when we were kids. So that said, we'll get into it here. Austin?
I think we should give them a discount if they're a little weary.
If you're weary? Discount? What's the discount?
I think we should give them 10% off their first month with the code THP at checkout.
That is a good idea.
Right?
Wow. Yeah.
Shout out our sponsors.
Okay, so Isaiah, we did this, how many years ago did we do this podcast? 3 years ago? 2 years ago?
2 years ago.
And it was a hot topic on my channel. It was something that we felt played a big role into your performance in getting 50.5 at the time, because we had a lot of deadlifting leading up to that first testing period. And then obviously your TFL was damaged in last All-Star weekend. So it's been, I don't even know, 15 months since that happened.
Yeah.
And you retested 50.5. So for you, now that you've done it again, you're in a new position, how important do you think deadlift is to your vertical improving
at
this point?
Definitely been a correlation. I recently PR'd, and then I had...
When did you PR? What was it?
That was a month and a half ago. So I want to say, when was that? Very end of February. And then I PR'd my deadlift again, like 3 months before that, 500. It was a 20-pound PR without even training it, funnily enough.
Wait, when we were at 24-hour?
Yeah, you remember that day?
Yeah. That's the most recent one? Or did you? Okay, that's what I thought. And that's a good with good technique.
Yeah, I could have deadlifted probably 515 or something like that, maybe 10 pounds more. So
okay.
There's been a correlation for sure.
All right, Austin, what about you? Has deadlift helped you, your 2 foot or 1 foot?
I wouldn't say I noticed a direct correlation for me personally.
What is your deadlift?
So last time I tested my deadlift was probably 2023. I think I got 4 something. What was it? It was here, right? It was like 405.
I think so, yeah.
It was like 405.
Okay.
Might have been 425. Really? Yeah.
I haven't done that in a while, though.
So I don't really deadlift. I think the most I've ever deadlifted is 355 or something like that. Maybe barely. And that was in 2017. I really don't do deadlift. I struggle to pull from the floor. And since I do so many clean pulls, I don't really see a point in deadlifting super often. That said, I do a lot of RDL as an alternative, which is slightly different, but similar in the sense that you're doing a lot of hinging. It's very hip and hamstring dominant. Depending on your deadlift technique, you could have a more hip dominant one or a more knee dominant one. Basically, how high you have your hips in the setup is going to determine that, versus how low your hips are. If your hips are higher, you're going to load the hip and hamstring more. Some guys will kind of start high, roll the knees forward, and then stand up. Some athletes roll the just round their low back. I stopped myself from swearing. You proud of me? And they just round their low back, and then they can lift a lot more too. I obviously don't believe in doing that. I think that it's really detrimental. You hear a lot of guys talk about how deadlift is one of those cost-benefit relationships where it's like, how much benefit do you have from this as an athlete? And I kind of stand by that. I think it is true. I do believe that if you deadlift too often, too heavy, you're probably going to have a lot of setbacks. I mean, realistically, we have not deadlifted much with either of you guys in the last 2 years, right?
Yeah.
And your deadlift has gone up from just pulls. Mm-hmm. Yours has as well. We don't even do deadlift. We just do clean pulls.
I have to definitely be on my deadlift right now.
What do you think you can pull?
Probably, I would say about 450, based on clean pulls and stuff, I would say. Probably
do like 450?
460, somewhere in there.
What do you think you could deadlift, Isaiah, right now?
Right now? It's always so weird, though, because I have, like, it depends on how much I let my form break down, which is actually the main reason I don't like deadlifting much. It's really easy when you're doing maximal weights to let your technique break, even if it's just a little bit.
And you see that really negatively impacts your health, right?
Yeah. Deadlift, I have seen to be really good for my back health if using lighter weights and extremely strict with technique. But as soon as I start doing maximal weights, it's always messed my back up. Always.
Okay, so here's a good question. What do you think has been more helpful, deadlift or power clean for your vertical?
Power clean for sure.
Yeah? What about you, Austin?
Same.
Power clean. Are you done doing power? Can you hold the mic now?
Oh, yeah.
You can take the mic.
I'll take it. Well, here, take it back.
Okay, we'll just go back and forth. Well, I do ISOs. I agree with that. I think power clean has definitely made a bigger impact on my vertical. I mean, now that I've started doing 2-foot, I'm not really sure. I'm kind of curious. Oh, that's a butterfly. Look at that. Yeah. It always catches our attention, all of us.
It's
the same time. It was like, you like that butterfly? I do think that deadlift has a place for a lot of 2-foot jumpers. I think that it can be really, really beneficial. But I definitely, do you want to grab the other pad too? Are we going to? Now we got to adjust the camera. It's just better if you
don't.
Better if you don't.
Okay.
So.
Much taller.
Uppy.
Oh, he looked like Xerxes in 300. That was my thing.
That was the reference? Okay. I do think that it has a lot of benefit for health. I mean, in terms of your back health, what is it? You feel like it correlates quite a bit, right? When you can pull from the ground heavy in deadlift. Without a flare-up, your back is usually
pretty healthy,
in a better position, your resilience and stuff like that. Do you feel like getting better at deadlift has helped your back increase its resilience?
Yeah, for sure. Like, when I use it post flare-ups, it's been a really good tool to get me back into being able to squat and exercise pain-free.
So what advice would you give to someone who has back pain but wants to deadlift for performance or health?
Well, the number one thing is learning how to hinge properly. If you know how to hinge properly, the deadlift kind of helps you get stronger while being able to brace, like, and it just grooves that motor pattern of, like, bracing properly. And if you can deadlift 225 for reps off the ground with perfect technique, and then you apply that to, like, your day-to-day life, like staying braced, like picking things up from the ground, you can get a lot better pretty quickly. That's also one of the downsides to deadlift. It's a lot of people don't have the mobility for it. They don't know how to hinge properly. So I think a good starting spot is learn how to RDL, actually. And then through RDL RDLs are a really good way to increase your hamstring flexibility. I think hamstring flexibility is the main reason guys can't really get into that position from the floor, or
I think it's that, or like hip mobility. Yeah, like if you have bony impingements, like I can't, I would have to sit like this and pull from, like,
yeah. So I would say if it's a hamstring flexibility issue, just do RDLs until you're flexible enough to pull from the ground, and then until then, pull from blocks. And then if there's a pinching sensation in the hips, you're basically, you just always have to pull from the blocks. And there's alternatives to that, like we could pull from these, you can stack plates up. You can actually get blocks, like weightlifting blocks.
What about sumo deadlift? How do we feel about sumo deadlift? I know I have an opinion on this, actually, but yeah. I want to know what your lens is, because I've had you.
Well, for
I
me,
programmed it once.
For me personally.
Me personally.
They are horrible for my hips, because I get pinching in my hips with external rotations. It's kind of like the opposite problem that you have. And sumo deadlift is like, it just tears my hips up, tears my hips up. So I don't really like doing it. I think if you are healthy enough to do it, it's just another tool in the toolbox. It's a source of variety in your training that you can use.
I agree. I don't think that in terms of specificity, either of them are that specific, sumo or conventional. I do like the neural aspect. I do think that it is an incredible neural stimulus, but there's other ways to do that, especially if you do have some prevalence of or some history with back pain. I'd rather pull off blocks. I'd rather pull from a more comfortable position to still get that stimulus. Yeah, the muscle length is not quite the same in those positions, but obviously you can't jump at all if you have crippling back pain. So there's no point in trying to lift super heavy if it's going to set you back.
We're not powerlifters. No. Like, there isn't, there, our sport isn't constrained by being able to squat below parallel or having the mobility to be able to pull from the floor. Like, that's not the sport. Now, if powerlifting is your sport and you're also trying to jump higher, that's a little different. But that's kind of that's actually a big issue that I have with strength sports is not a lot of people are able to do it. Like, to be an Olympic weightlifter, like that caliber of lifter, and to do it safely, you essentially have to have short femurs, long torso.
Yeah.
And if not, you're going to hit a limit.
It's going to be very difficult.
Yeah.
Okay, so here's what do you guys notice when you look at athletes who do have a really, really high deadlift that we've coached in the past, or other athletes that you've seen that have really high deadlifts in terms of their athleticism? What do you notice? Conventional deadlift. I see almost no correlation with it.
There's like a few guys that would come to us with like a 600 plus pound deadlift and stuff, and they can't get off the ground at all.
Yeah. I know Phil Gannon has a big deadlift. Like, that's like,
yeah.
But that was after. Like, his deadlift is after he was already jumping a lifetime. It wasn't like he came with a big deadlift and then could jump high. Whereas like some Oli lifters that come to us, they naturally have like a little bit more bounce. But honestly, the guys that come to us that typically have the best verticals are basketball players. Basketball players, sometimes volleyball players, but like basketball players generally have the best verticals and have a lot of upside. Like it seems to be like if you have a background in strength sports, you're actually worse off than someone who has a background in basketball going into dunking, right? Like, because now you're way stronger, so all the percentages are heavier, right? You have no jump technique. You're probably not coordinated with a ball in your hand. And we have to teach you how to do all that stuff. And you're like, well, I thought the training was just going to magically do it. And it's like, well, you have to take some ownership over the fact that, like, there's a skill here. There's a skill component, and you have to master it. You got to work on it a lot. So, like, yeah, you can still, you know, and some people might just be like, well, there's a massive deficit there. Why don't you just jump or something else? It's like, well, you got to stay healthy. You still want to get stronger. Yeah. You still want to get more powerful. But I'd rather have the basketball player
and I've noticed,
that comes in that is weak than the deadlifter that comes in that's unathletic.
And I've noticed that focusing on that, like guys that generally focus on deadlift, I think are just too obsessed with the weight room. I know we've said before, get obsessed with the weight room. But that's because 90% of athletes don't have that obsession necessary to have good technique and stuff. But then at the extreme end, the guys that are like, that's all they've been doing, it's way harder to train and they're usually more injury prone too. Like guys that are obsessed with their deadlift are usually like, they have a lot of back issues and that type of thing. And I've actually seen on the dunking side of things, like pro dunkers, when guys get really obsessed with powerlifting and stuff like that, like eventually injuries just start creeping in. Like I'm thinking like T, like he was hurt for a big part of the last like 2-3 years.
We used to think he was indestructible.
Yeah. He's but eventually hurt. You hit a limit. Yeah, yeah.
I had no idea.
Yeah. And then I think Jay Clark too, when he got really into power, like got trying to get his squat up to like 500 and stuff like that. I know he had some like issues creep up and stuff, so yeah, combining powerlifting and dunking, I think, is like can be beneficial if you're a noob and like
noob.
Yeah, like you increase your max strength and your vertical will fly up. But like, as soon as you start placing more importance on that than jumping and dunking and sacrificing your health for it, a lot of issues can happen.
All right, I feel like we've covered this pretty thoroughly. So in conclusion, if you want a deadlift, go for it. But remember that dunking and being an athlete is the end goal, and being healthy is more important. Yeah. We do think deadlift has some benefit, especially for the hips. It obviously, depending on how you lift, that can change what it's going to load. And you probably don't want to load that too heavily if you're doing a lot of pulls from the floor already, because that's going to tax your back.
And I think finally is use good technique.
Yeah.
Learn how to
have good technique.
Learn how to brace properly, not flex at the spine.
People anything else?
Talk. Well, I am talking.
I didn't have the mic.
Just kidding.
Yeah, won't. Well, yeah, maybe not.
No, that's fine.
That was a joke, by the way. I don't actually.
No, he does. He talks. Help. Help. This is my cry for help.
Anyways, go to teachmestrength.com if you want to get coached by the three of us. We are the premier jump coaches in the entire world. This is not overhyped. We are good as shit at what we do, whether it is knee pain, back pain, hip pain, PFP, chondromalacia, patellar tendinopathy, quad tendinopathy, doesn't matter. You can come to us and we will help you get healthy. And then obviously all of us are jumping high and continue to jump higher. Anything else you guys want to add?
I don't know if you guys heard this before, but if you're weary, you get 10% off your first month with the code THP. And I'll repeat, it's THP.
Should I do it one more time?
Yeah. THP.
All right. See you guys.